One morning, however, when the three children finished their breakfast and went into the reptile room, they found not Uncle Monty, but a note from him. The note read as follows.
Dear Bambini, I have gone into town to buy a few last things we need for the expedition. Peruvian wasp repellent, toothbrushes, canned peaches, and a fireproof canoe. It will take a while to find the peaches, so don't expect me back until dinner time. Stefano, Gustav's replacement, will arrive today by taxi. Please make him feel welcome. As you know, it is only 2 days until the expedition, so please work very hard today. Your giddy uncle, Monty.
What does giddy mean? Violet asked, when they had finished reading the note.
Dizzy and excited, Klaus said, having learnt the word from a collection of poetry he'd read in first grade.
I guess he means excited about Peru, or maybe he's excited about having a new assistant.
Or maybe he's excited about us, Violet said.
Kindle!
Sunny shrieked, which probably meant, or maybe he's excited about all these things.
I'm a little giddy myself, Klaus said. It's really fun to live with Uncle Monty.
It certainly is, Violet agreed. After the fire, I thought I would never be happy again, but our time here has been wonderful.
I still miss our parents, though, Klaus said. No matter how nice Uncle Monty is, I wish we still lived in our real home.
Of course,
Violet said quickly. She paused and slowly said out loud something she had been thinking about for the past few days.
I think we'll always miss our parents, but I think we can miss them without being miserable all the time. After all, they wouldn't want us to be miserable.
Remember that time, Klaus said wistfully, when we were bored one rainy afternoon, and all of us painted our toenails bright red?
Yes,
Violet said, grinning,
and I spilled some on the yellow chair.
Acho,
Sunny said quietly, which probably meant something like, and the stain never really came out. The Baudelaire orphans smiled at each other, and without a word began to do the day's work. For the rest of the morning they worked quietly and steadily, realizing that their contentment here at Uncle Monty's house did not erase their parents' death, not at all, but at least it made them feel better after feeling so sad for so long. It is unfortunate, of course, that this quiet, happy moment was the last one the children would have for quite some time, but there is nothing anyone can do about it now. Just when the Baudelaires were beginning to think about lunch, they heard a car pull up in front of the house and toot its horn. To the children, it signalled the arrival of Stefano. To us, it should signal the beginning of more misery.
I expect that's the new assistant, Klaus said, looking up from the big Peruvian book of small Peruvian snakes. I hope he's as nice as Monty.
Me too,
Violet said, opening and shutting a toad trap to make sure it worked smoothly.
It would be unpleasant to travel to Peru with somebody who was boring or mean.
Gotcha,
Sunny shrieked, which probably meant something like, well, let's go find out what Stefano is like. The Baudelaires left the reptile room and walked out the front door to find a taxi parked next to the snake-shaped hedges. A very tall, thin man, with a long beard and no eyebrows over his eyes, was getting out of the back seat, carrying a black suitcase with a shiny silver padlock.
"I'm not going to give you a tip,"
the bearded man was saying to the driver of the taxi,
"because you talk too much. Not everyone wants to hear about your new baby, you know. Oh, hello there. I am Stefano, Dr. Montgomery's new assistant. How do you do?"
"How do you do?"
Violet said. And as she approached him, there was something about his wheezy voice that seemed vaguely familiar.
"How do you do?"
Klaus said. And as he looked up at Stefano, there was something about his shiny eyes that seemed quite familiar.
"Hora!"
Sunny shrieked. Stefano wasn't wearing any socks, and Sunny, crawling on the ground, could see his bare ankle between his pant cuff and his shoe. There on his ankle
was something that was most familiar of all. The Baudelaire orphans all realized the same thing at the same time and took a step back as you might from a growling dog. This man wasn't Stefano, no matter what he called himself. The three children looked at Uncle Monty's new assistant from head to toe and saw that he was none other than Count Olaf. He may have shaved off his one long eyebrow and grown a beard over his scraggly chin, but there was no way he could hide the tattoo of an eye on his ankle.